Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. And as you turn there, I will lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to this part in our service where we seek to hear from you, where we seek to hear from your holy scriptures. And we pray, God, that you would speak to us, that you would speak to our minds and to our hearts, that you would use your holy word to conform us more and more into the likeness of your Son, who is speaking in this chapter that we are about to read. God, have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading and hearing God's word. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in verse 32, wisdom says, "And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. Jesus, God the Son and wisdom incarnate, once said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Prior to his incarnation, wisdom continues his speech in Proverbs chapter 8, saying much the same that he does in John chapter 15 that we just read. In summary, there is no neutrality with Jesus. There is no being Switzerland with Jesus. Either you love him or you hate him. Either you trust in him or you reject him. Either you abide in him or you forsake him. Furthermore, wisdom, both before and after his incarnation, says that there are consequences that flow from how we relate to him. The one who abides in him thrives. The one who listens to him finds life. The one who does not abide dies. The one who does not listen to him finds death. In chapter 8, we have considered wisdom's speech. So far, wisdom and I have charged you to answer his call, accept his commendations, and adore his character. This morning answers the following question: how should you respond to wisdom's consequences? His answer is that you should acknowledge them. You should acknowledge them. You should understand what they are, and you should live accordingly. This response is the big idea of this morning's message, and that is acknowledge wisdom's consequences. Acknowledge wisdom's consequences. Wisdom in our text provides three ways in which we should acknowledge his consequences. We turn to the first one now. Number one, acknowledge wisdom's consequences by executing his directives. By executing his directives. Look at verse 32 and 33. "And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Notice first how Jesus refers to his people. He calls them, O sons. Jesus is a king. He is the Lord of lords. And as a king, he is a father to his people. He is to teach them. He is to guide them. He is to direct them. He is to protect them and serve them and lead them and help them. And as a king, he issues out commands and directives to his people. Consider what he says. He says, listen to me. And then he tells them again, hear instruction. Be wise. And do not neglect it. He is telling them to hear what he has to say. And not just merely hear it with their ears, but begin to obey it in their lives. They are to believe it in their hearts, and they are to do what it is that he commands. Jesus demands absolute allegiance of those who would follow him. Again, there is no neutrality with Jesus. There is no just being okay with Jesus. You either love him or you hate him. And Jesus is commanding all of us and commanding all who read this passage to hear his word. Anytime Jesus speaks, and Jesus speaks throughout all of the scriptures, Jesus still speaks through his servants who preach the scriptures. Every time the word of God is proclaimed and communicated, the Christian is to listen. They are to value and treasure his words. And he even alludes to a result that will come to those who do. He says in verse 32, the second half, he says, blessed are those who keep my ways. Those who keep the ways of Jesus, who follow his words, will find themselves to be blessed. They will flourish. They will thrive. They will be in a state of blessedness. They will have a happiness that can only come in God. But in order to get there, one must receive the words of wisdom. With wisdom, we do not find mere suggestions or advice from a friend. We find the decrees and words of a king. When Jesus speaks in the scriptures, he's not just offering you advice. When God speaks through the scriptures, he's not merely giving suggestions. He's not saying, believe this if you want, do this if you like, or if it's convenient. No, he is issuing commands. And he expects, as a king, that those commands would be obeyed. And therefore, believer, when the word of God is either read aloud or proclaimed, listen. Ready yourself. Prepare your heart. Prepare your mind to receive the words of God. Open up the word of God in your homes and read it. Study it. Know what God really says. Our Lord Jesus, he is a good king. He is a wise king. And every thing that he commands us is going to be good, and is going to be wise. Jesus knows better than we do about everything. And therefore, let us be a people, let us be a church that takes the word of God very seriously. If Jesus tells us to go left, we go left. If he tells us to go right, we go right. If he tells us to be willing to die for the sake of him, we be willing to die for the sake of him. If he tells us to do something that we don't really feel like doing, we do it anyways. Our feelings are not reliable guides, but Jesus, he is a perfect guide. So So whenever the word of God, the word of Jesus is proclaimed, listen to it. An unbeliever, you need to realize that when the Bible is read, what we find within the Bible and when the Bible is preached, it is not the mere words of men who are being communicated to you. It is the very words of God. It is the Lord Jesus particularly speaking in our text, and he's not just speaking to believers. He, earlier in the passage, he invites all, even the fool and the simpleton, the unbeliever, to respond to and receive his words. So unbeliever, do not ignore the words of Jesus, for it will lead to only peril and pain. If you want to experience true blessedness, even through trials and tribulations and all the way into eternity, then acknowledge the consequences of wisdom. Obey his directives. Execute them. Do them. Indeed, acknowledge wisdom's consequences by executing his directives. Number two, acknowledge wisdom's consequences by embracing his donations or his gifts. Look at verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Blessed is the one who listens to me. We already covered that in the first point. The one who listens to wisdom, the one who listens to Lord Jesus Christ will find themselves to be truly and everlastingly happy. They will flourish both at the present time and in glory. They will be able to rejoice even in the face of trials and tribulations because they will have a happiness that is disconnected from present circumstances and rooted in God himself. Blessed is the one who listens to wisdom. And what kind of listening or watching? We read that they watch daily at his gates. They wait beside his doors. As I read this text, I'm reminded of something that goes on in my house regularly. So bear with me. When JoJo was younger, she would get up really, really early, as soon as she could walk. And she would get out and she would wake up Lauren, even if I was awake. My wife's not here, but she'll listen to this later and be angry. But she doesn't like to be woke up early. And early to her is different than early to me. So being the genius that she was, she found a clock. And that clock lights up at certain colors, and those colors communicate to our children both when they can get up and when they're allowed to come out of their room. It turns yellow when they're allowed to play quietly in their room, and it turns green when they're allowed to come out and wake up mom. Now, Leah, who is ill now, when she wakes up, she just about has to be waiting at the door until it turns green. Because it turns green at 7. 7 on the dot. That little girl bursts out of that room and is ready to go. She's excited. She's waiting at the door. She is eagerly anticipating the moment where she is allowed to open the door so that she can talk to me and get breakfast. She's ready. She's eager. She's excited because she values what is on the other side of the door. The Christian is to have such eager anticipation in encountering wisdom and hearing his words. We should be just as excited about the word of God as Leah is to get out of her room and get breakfast. We should be much like the child on Christmas Day morning who gets to crack open their presents. when we get to crack open, or the Word of God is opened for us. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ in His person and His work and all that we find in the Scriptures, they should be a great source of excitement. Because indeed, those who receive them, those who hear them, those who believe in them will find themselves to be blessed. Jesus says in verse 35, whoever finds him finds life. And you'll remember a couple of weeks ago, I shared how JoJo used to play hide and seek. When we'd count, and we'd get to 10, say, ready or not, here we come. She would jump out and say, here I am. And I told you, Jesus is much like that. He's not good at hide and seek. He doesn't hide. He's right there. He's not far off. He's near. The only reason people do not find Jesus is because they do not look for him. He says earlier in this chapter, I believe it's verse 17. Yes, verse 17, it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. There's a certainty there. Those who seek him diligently, you know what they do? They find him. Because he's not hidden. He's right there. And those who find him, Jesus says in the passage I just read to you, they don't only find him, but they find all the gifts and the blessings that come with him. And that blessing is summarized in one word. They find life. The wages of sin is what? It is death. But the free gift of God in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, it is what? It is life. Life eternal. It is life that can only come through communion with God. It is life that never ends. It is life that one day will swallow up all the death and the sin that remains. Everyone who finds wisdom will also find life. That is a great gift. Because death, it's an ever-present reality, isn't it? Everywhere we look, we see death. You read the news for long and you'll read of murder. You read obituaries, people are just dying of AIDS, dying of sickness. Death is everywhere. You read the news some more, you find out there are wars and people are being massacred. You read it even more, go even deeper, there are genocides all over the world. People being ethnically cleansed. Death is everywhere. Where do people find life? They should find it in the church, right? Because haven't we found the one who gives life? Jesus said that he came so that we may have life and have life abundantly. He said, I am the way, the truth. We often emphasize that one, but what's he say after that? And the life. He is the life and the light of men, John says in the beginning of the gospel. He is the very source of true and meaningful life. He provides us purpose and strength in the present, and he provides us eternal life in glory. There is blessing, great blessing, that comes with knowing and following Jesus. See, consequences are not always bad. You may be puzzled by my reason for choosing that word, consequence. Some consequences are good. This is a good consequence. If you receive wisdom, you receive all the gifts that he has earned. And what has Jesus earned? He's earned quite a bit, hasn't he? When Jesus came, the Son of God, when he became man, what did he do as a man? Yes, of course, he went to die, but let's not go there just yet. What did he do between the time of his birth and his death? He lived in perfect righteousness. He fulfilled the entire law. Not an iota was missed by him. He lived actively and obediently for the glory of his Father. And though he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, the scriptures are clear that he never once sinned. That is what theologians oftentimes call the active obedience of Christ. And that active obedience of Christ, that earned for us eternal life. Because the wages of sin is death. Therefore, the only way to acquire life is obedience. But here's the catch. None of us are obedient by our own strength or power. None of us are righteous if it is left to our own merits. None of us can get to heaven and say, God, you must let us in because we did X, Y, and Z. But you know who can say such things? Jesus. And Jesus didn't only obey so that he would go to glory. He obeyed so that all who believe in him could receive that righteousness and therefore be declared righteous by his Father. So Jesus secured for us by his obedience eternal life. And then we get to his death, right? We haven't even talked about that. Not only did he live in perfect obedience, he obeyed all the way to the point of death. And what did his death accomplish? Jesus didn't only earn our heaven by doing the right things. He also made it possible for us to enter heaven by paying the full penalty of each and every one of our sins. And that's what took place on the cross. Jesus did not suffer for his own sins. He had none to suffer for. But he did suffer for your sins and my sins so that we might be forgiven. He died so that our sins might be taken from us as far as the east is from the west. And yes, I didn't point to the directions because I don't know where east and west are. But as far as the right is from the left, and that'd be your right. There you go. You get the point though, right? With Jesus, there is great blessing, and he shares those innumerable blessings with everyone who acknowledges him. So acknowledge him, trust in him, receive him. Believer, remember who Jesus is. Yes, we talked about that last week. We talked about his character, how he is the only begotten of the Son of the Father, the only begotten Son. The Lord of glory, the eternal second person of the Trinity who came and dwelt among us in human flesh. He is that. Adore that. But also remember. Remember what he has done. Remember what he continues to do. Because Jesus didn't only die, he rose from the grave, didn't he? He is very much alive. He sits at the Father's right hand. And even right now, as he sits at the Father's right hand, Jesus is interceding on your behalf. He is sending his Spirit to provide you with strength, to gift you, to equip you, to help you, and to preserve you. Jesus is still at work among you. And we are to look forward in eager anticipation to the one day where that work that Jesus began, he will bring it to completion. Isn't Jesus glorious? He is glorious in his person. He is glorious in his work. Do not treat him like someone ordinary. Do not treat him as an advice giver. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is your friend, but he is also your Lord and Redeemer. Do not forget it. An unbeliever, if you want the blessings of eternal life, if you want the blessings of the forgiveness of sins, it only comes through trusting in Jesus. Remember, it is Jesus who is wisdom incarnate. It is Jesus who is speaking in this passage, and he is inviting you to trust in him. If you don't, you will do it at your own peril. And church, let us remember to proclaim Jesus as he actually is. Oftentimes, Christians are portrayed, and I think this is unfair. They haven't been to Vista Baptist Church, evidently. But Christians are portrayed as people who do not like to have fun, who do not like to rejoice. We're all portrayed as curmudgeonly, as foolish, as bigoted. But Jesus gives great gifts, and those gifts should make us happy. The church should be a place where from time to time where we laugh, where we rejoice with those who rejoice. Yes, we still weep with those who weep, but we have a Savior who has saved us. Rejoice. We have a Savior who is alive and not dead. Rejoice. Sunday is not a funeral. It's never a funeral. Because Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And he saves sinners. And we who are believers should know that more than anyone else. Yes. Acknowledge wisdom's consequences by embracing his donations and by executing his directives. Number three, acknowledge wisdom's consequences by escaping his displeasure. By escaping his displeasure. Look at verse 36. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Again, I said earlier, and I believe it to be true, the only reason someone does not find Jesus is because they are not looking. Indeed, the gospel is said to be a stench and an aroma of death to those who are perishing, but life to those who are being saved. The gospel is offensive to those who would rather live according to their own ways, to those who would not want to enjoy the benefits of Jesus, or to those who are too prideful to admit that they need him. The only thing that they will reap in the end is death. Again, he says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. If you want wisdom, God's word says all you have to do is ask. James chapter 1, verse 5, Chris read it a couple of weeks ago. If anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If you want Jesus in your life, all you have to do is ask. But many, many go day to day without asking. Many go day to day without seeking. And this scripture says that such a person who does not seek the Lord Jesus, such a person who does not receive him or acknowledge that displeasure will come upon them if they do not seek him, they injure themselves. They're walking for their own pleasures, for themselves, and rather than God and rather than his son, it will in the end only bring them injury and misery. Indeed, it is as if such a person loves death. The one who hates wisdom is like a man who hates water. He may not love death itself, but hates what is required to sustain and provide him with life. The man who hates Jesus hates and spurns the only one who can save him. To hate Jesus is to love death. There is no neutrality with Jesus, is there? You can't toe the line. You can't have one foot in the boat of the world and one foot in the boat of God's kingdom. You're either with Jesus or you're against him. That much is clear. Those who are with Jesus, they find life. And life abundantly. Jesus offers forgiveness and hope and joy to all who come to him. He is truly a merciful and compassionate and good and perfect Savior. But to those who reject him, due to their own folly, their own foolishness, their own, dare I say, stupidity. They love death instead of the one who can bring them life. And we as believers, that should move us to pity them. The unbeliever who does heinous things, it should not shock us, although it may appall us. But we should pity them because they are lost. They are dead. They are self-condemned people. They are the walking dead, if you will. What awaits them is destruction and damnation. They have rejected the only one who can save them, and they are too foolish to turn from their wickedness and trust in him. We should feel sorry for them. Not because we're better than them. We aren't. Only Jesus can open the eyes of those who are spiritually blind. And the only reason you see is because Jesus has caused you to see. You are not smarter than anybody or more wise than anybody by your own merit. And that's true for me too. Jesus alone saves sinners. But unbeliever, hear the warning of this passage. To reject Jesus, to hate Jesus, will only bring you death and misery. To miss the mark, this text says, the ESV translates it, he who fails to find me injures himself. That word fail to find, it's actually the Hebrew word that is commonly translated sin. He who misses the mark, he who sins, injures himself. And the truth is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the only one who can heal you from your sin-stricken and miserable life and the end that awaits you at the end of it is Jesus. It is him who is speaking in this passage. And sometimes we do need to be shaken by the bad news before we can appreciate the good news. Apart from Christ, we are hopeless. We are led astray. We are enemies of God. We are condemned. We follow the prince of the power of the air. We are spiritually dead. We are afflicted. And there is nothing that we can do to free ourselves. But God, in his rich mercy, he has provided a way, and that way is his son, Jesus. Unbeliever, if you don't want death and want life, you've been told where to find it today. And if you seek him, you will find him. If you love him, he will love you in return. It will always be reciprocated. So flee from your sin and trust in Jesus. Jesus is the vine, and those who abide in him not only survive, but thrive. Jesus is wisdom incarnate. Those who listen to him are blessed, flourish, and find life. Those who do not abide in him or listen to him meet a terrible but just end, namely death, destruction, and eternal damnation. Wisdom and I have charged you today to acknowledge wisdom's consequences. By executing his directives, embracing his donations, and escaping his displeasure. That was the answer to the question that I posed at the beginning. How should you respond to the consequences of wisdom? Church, as we wrap up chapter 8, let us remember that Jesus, wisdom incarnate, who speaks here, is our perfect prophet, priest, and king. As prophet, he discloses the will of God to us perfectly in his written word and through those who faithfully proclaim it. As priest, he mediates between our heavenly Father and us perfectly. His holy life he lived as our representative secured our right standing before God, and his sacrificial death has cleansed us from our sins. And even now, as I said earlier, as our priest, he intercedes on our behalf. And he communicates and grants blessings to us each and every day that we may walk in accord with his word. And as king, he rules, preserves, and defends us. Therefore, let us follow Jesus wherever he would have us go. Believer, keep abiding in Jesus. Keep listening to his word. Accept his calling, the calling he has put upon your life. It is greater than any other calling you have. Recognize the commendations that he has. Accept them as good and beautiful and true. Adore his character. He is superior to all other. He is the finest of 10,000, as scripture says. There is none who compare to him. And finally, acknowledge the consequences of Jesus. The good consequences for those who follow him, as well as the negative ones for those who reject him. An unbeliever, turn from your sins. Trust in Jesus. Answer the call that he has given. Look at his commendations and accept them as good and true and beautiful. Look at his character and adore him, for he is worthy. And flee. Flee from those consequences that we read of in this text. Indeed, repent, trust in Jesus, and you will find life. And to all of you, may God help us all to answer wisdom's call. May God help us all to accept wisdom's commendations, to adore his character, and to acknowledge his consequences. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,